Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor and passionate snow skiing enthusiast, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers. Did you ski today?
Yeah. Oh, no, I did not ski today. It was snowing. I snow shoveled.
When
I shoveled the driveway. But
okay, good.
And I should say we shoveled the driveway. RJ?
RJ is
very hardcore about the driveway. Like,
okay.
And I will say her upbringing. From Michigan.
You have to understand, if you're from Michigan,
yes,
you have a lot of experience.
We have the best looking driveway in the neighborhood, I will say. Like, it is the cleanest, sharpest looking. The edges are nice. We salt it up. It's all clean and
good.
That's good.
And it doesn't shock me that Rebecca put in a lot of muscle into it, because you told me, do you remember you guys were doing some landscaping stuff at one point, and you said that she was moving entire boulders.
Oh my God.
On her
own.
Unbelievable. And I thought, okay, she's got some grit there.
Don't mess with RJ.
No, I'm not going to mess with RJ.
No,
I wouldn't.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But when is the last time you actually went skiing, though? When did you go?
Just last week, a few days ago. Yeah.
Which mountain did you go
to? Park City. I got a pass. I got a season pass this year to Park City Mountain. So, yeah, I've been skiing there for a few weeks now. They've been open since, November 12th, I think.
So you're not going to go anywhere else since you have the pass. Is that pretty much it?
Probably not. My sister's coming at Christmas. We may go ski Sundance. It's a smaller mountain.
You're not going to ski my favorite mountain of all?
What, Deer Valley?
No.
Snowbird? Which one?
Almost. Close.
Alta?
Yes.
Alta's great. Yeah.
Because they don't allow snowboarders. That's why.
Oh.
I think it's still like that. Maybe.
At Alta? I don't know about
that.
Deer Valley. Deer Valley does not allow snowboarders.
Okay.
But there's tons of snow right now. It's incredible.
That's good, and awesome. You need that for good skiing. So
yeah,
okay,
and good summers with lots of water in the lakes and things like that.
So. Right, you need that exactly. Yeah. Okay, so are you ready to talk about or go watch this episode? We can't really talk about it. We can talk about the title, but we can't go any more beyond that. So
what is the title this week?
Yes, the title this week is "Live Fast and Prosper." So instead of live long and prosper.
Long and prosper, it's live fast.
Live fast and prosper.
Live fast and furious is also another another episode that was never aired.
It was never aired.
Live fast and furious.
No.
Could have been aired and it was
Vin Diesel
intense.
Joined us. It was, exactly. You know, it was interesting. I mean, his contract was, I don't know, miles long. All the things he had requested, but they ponied up for it, you know.
Yeah.
It was a great episode.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Lots of space chases.
Yes. So live fast and prosper, which sounds like live long and prosper. By the way, let me just tell you how to say that in German. I just learned this recently. So lebe lang und in Frieden is live long and prosper in German. Yeah.
Lebe lang
und
in Lieben.
No, in Frieden. F-R-I-E-D-E-N. Lebe lang und in Frieden. There you go.
Oh, that's interesting.
It. Yeah. All right.
Sounds much more important in German than
it does. It's
live long and prosper.
It's a little pedestrian in English, but it does sound a little highfalutin.
In Deutsch.
Yes. It does. I like it. It is time now for you and I, Robbie McNeil, to go watch Live Fast and Prosper.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back with our recap and discussion of the episode. Thank you. All right, we're back from watching Live Fast and Prosper.
Ooh.
Not Live Fast and Furious, but Live Fast and Prosper. But first of all, because the way that when we record, when what we see when we record is different from what actually gets edited and put out there. So I just want everyone to see this. So look at the background, the way it matches like that. It looks like a, like someone's lying down on their stomach on a bed, and you can see the shape of their bum bum.
That's their hiney. That looks like a hiney. Our backgrounds together, put together, look like a big space hiney.
It is a space hiney. Okay, so let's start off with our synopsis, our poetry synopsis. Let's just begin right off the bat. Here we go. Here is my haiku for Live Fast and Prosper.
Yes.
Miners bamboozled. Tomelix truly at fault. Real crew saves the day. See, I didn't have enough syllables for Tom and Neelix, so I hybridized you. What is it? Tomelix.
Tomelix.
Yeah.
Ah, Tomelix. I've never thought of that
one. There's Tuvix, Tomelix.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. All right. Here is my limerick poetry synopsis for Live Fast and Prosper. Here we go. A fake Janeway and Tuvok swindle a deal, but the miners think they are real. When Janeway finds out, she'll fix the problem, no doubt. Messing with Starfleet is never ideal.
You know what? You're going to get so good at limericks, you'll be able to speak in limerick to anyone just on the street.
Yeah.
You're just going to be able to pull this out of your bum.
It's like a rap skill, really.
It is.
You got a freestyle limerick.
Yes. Wouldn't that be crazy if, because of this experience at the end, you start your own rap career? You become a rapper, you throw away the whole directing thing, and you just become this freestyle. You know, middle-aged Eminem is what
I will say that I could never freestyle these limericks. They are really hard. You did limericks, you know.
Yes.
It takes a little, like, to find the rhyme and the rhythm and try to actually make any sense of what the episode is about. It's tricky. Yes. I could never freestyle it.
Okay, but did you like my descriptive phrase of what you would be if you did choose that career?
Yes.
Middle-aged Eminem, which the acronym is almost ma'am, right? So
Little Ma'am.
A little ma'am.
That's my rapper name.
Lil Ma'am. L-I-L apostrophe M-A-M-M. Lil Ma'am. Yeah. Lil middle-aged Eminem.
That's our synopses. Yeah, so let's talk about who made this. Mm-hmm. So Robin Berger is the writer.
Again.
We don't remember
you and her. I don't remember her at all, and I feel so bad.
Maybe she was here just for one season. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe that's a pen name.
I don't know. I don't remember her at all.
Maybe that's actually, you know, Joe Manosky's other name that he writes under. I don't know. But I don't remember that. We were completely wrong in the director, by the way. Completely.
LeVar directed this episode.
Do you remember him? How many times do you remember him directing? To be perfectly honest,
three?
I thought it was just okay. Two? So it was more than one for sure.
Yeah.
More than one.
Yeah. Okay. Two, three? I don't know. I don't know how many so far. At least two. This is at least the second one now, but I want to say.
Well, he directed me in Timeless, which is exactly. Season five. I think that might have been, was that his first time? Maybe.
No. I don't think so.
Okay. So that was his second. And so this will be his third.
Yeah.
So whatever his first one is, I can't recall which episode, but okay. So more than one for sure.
Yeah. So LeVar Burton directed, Robin Berger wrote it. Here's our guest stars. So Caitlin Hopkins as Dala, Sister Dala, and also in the end, she's impersonating the doctor.
Faux Janeway.
Faux Janeway, yes. Faux Janeway, Sister Dala, impersonating the doctor. She had a lot of roles to play in this. You know?
Yeah, she did.
She had a lot of like.
Did you want to say impersonating Janeway or you said impersonating the doctor at the very end?
She impersonates the doctor.
The doctor. She imitates him.
Well,
okay.
No, wait. Yeah. I mean, Caitlin, the actress, had to pretend to be the doctor as a hologram of Sister Dala, right?
No, I thought the doctor was, he changed his parameters of what
he
looked
like. Yeah, but I'm saying the actress had to pretend.
Oh, yes,
to be
yes,
the
yes, yes.
That's
I'm
what
sorry.
I'm saying.
Yes, yes. The actress herself.
Caitlin Hopkins had to pretend a lot of different.
I was sitting here thinking, did you and I watch the same episode? What are we talking about? Oh, my gosh. All right.
No,
I got
no,
you.
I
got
know
you.
That wasn't
I got you.
Sister Dala in the end,
right.
But it was
so
Caitlin
she impersonated.
Hopkins.
Yes, she's impersonated the holy person, and then Faux
the
Janeway, and then she had to pretend to be basically the doctor impersonating her, being her, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, Sister Dala wasn't even a religious person because she was impersonating that. So she was
That's
just
right.
a con woman.
Just
she
a
was
grifter.
Just always grifting.
A con person. See, that doesn't sound right, because that sounds like somebody who goes to conventions, like Comic Cons and stuff. So yeah. A con woman and a grifter. Let's just say that. Okay.
Yes. I have been a con person. I've been to lots of cons.
Yes, you have. We both have been to lots of cons. Okay. All right. What's her first credit?
Caitlin Hopkins, her very first credit that I could find was a film called Runaway Dreams, 1989. And I think she was the star of this because there were no big names in it.
Okay.
She was like a teenager who was a runaway, and it was a little bit of a B movie, it looks like.
You began with Runaway, I waited for you to finish with Runaway Bride with Julia
Runaway Dreams,
Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
No, not the same film.
Runaway Dreams, 1989, her Caitlin Hopkins debut as an actress on film that I could find. Then Mobar, Greg Daniel plays Mobar, the Tuvok impersonator. Greg Daniel, his first credit.
Sorry, that just these names. How do they come up with these names?
I know. Greg Daniels plays Mobar. His first job was also in 1989, the same year that Caitlin Hopkins made her film debut.
Oh.
He was in a TV show called Mancuso FBI, starring Frank Loggia.
Wow. And we spoke about Frank Loggia. Remember we talked about how the one alien that looked looked like Robert Loggia. So what is most noteworthy is that both of their first credits were in 1989, which is truly coincidental and kind of interesting.
Yeah. Okay. The next actor is Francis Guinan, plays Czar.
Yeah.
And his first credit was in 1983, a TV movie called Say Goodnight, Gracie. I guess it was a comedy. Yeah. Say Goodnight, Gracie.
Who that was Czar? Sort of a. Is Czar the mining?
Chakotay. The fake Chakotay.
Oh. Okay. The one that's on the ship with that we see in the beginning. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's Czar.
Yeah.
Varn is played by Ted Rooney. And Varn is the one who gets invited to join Starfleet.
Oh, that guy.
That's Varn, right? Mm-hmm. Ted Rooney plays that role. His first job was in 1996, a movie called Celtic Pride that starred Dan Aykroyd, Daniel Stern, Damon Wayans. Big studio picked comedy picture. Ted Rooney's first job, 1996.
Could also be pronounced Celtic Pride as well, right?
Yes. So,
either way. Celtic. Okay.
I think it was like Boston Celtics.
Yes, it was Boston Celtics.
I think the movie was about like the Boston Celtics.
The Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
So they were like Celtic fans. Pride. Yes. Yeah. My apologies. Okay. Next.
To all the Boston Celtics fans out there.
The Boston Celtic fans? What?
Yeah.
Yes. Continue. One more.
Minor number one was played by Scott Lincoln.
Yeah.
And his first job was on General Hospital in 1970.
Oh, a little GH.
Daytime
GH action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The minor number two was played by Timothy McNeil. His last name was McNeil.
Your long lost cousin.
M-C-N-E-I-L. One L for him.
Oh,
I
that's
two.
Son of a gun.
So we must be related
there
from
has
some,
to be some relation
clan
there.
Back in Scotland somewhere. Yes. Timothy McNeil.
Red hand.
That's right. Timothy McNeil was the one who was late. He was minor number two who showed up late.
Yep.
He's like, I'm sorry, the thing broke down.
Yep.
His first job was in 1993, a half-hour comedy called Thea.
That, I don't remember this.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. Yeah. But one of the actors in it was Brandy, who went on to have her own show.
And also
Brandy
musical
the
career.
Singer and, yeah, and a big musical career. Brandy was in that.
She Thea. Was on UPN the same time we were on Voyager.
Yeah. So. The very last guest star, we had a lot of guest stars in this.
Yeah.
Dennis Cockrum, who plays Oryk.
That's the mining, head of the mining
the boss.
People.
Yeah,
boss,
he's the one that comes on and says, give us our stuff and all that.
Yeah.
His first job was in 1982 on a TV show called Chicago Story. They had a big cast. Craig T. Nelson was in it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Dennis Cockrum as Oryk. That's all of our guest stars.
I like it. You got a lot in there. You really did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, let's just jump into it. The opening shot is of a mining colony. Yeah. That's what we see. Did you like that opening shot, or were you anti? Okay.
It looked old school, but I think they shot models. It looked like it was a model and not a painting or a CG version. It looked like they had filmed a model.
The model of it. Okay.
And so I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was good for that era. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that.
We go inside the caves next, our classic caves set. There's some miners in there. One of them's late. He's running in.
Yeah.
I noticed in this scene, he apologizes for being late.
Right.
But it felt like they were all looped. Like the dialogue, it was kind of cartoony.
Did you think so? Okay.
Yeah. It felt cartoony to me.
Yeah. So they are on Telsius, right? They are Telsian miners what they are. Telsian miners they are on the planet Telsius. That's what I'm getting from this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of them's late. He apologizes in his looped dialogue. The other one's also looped. And the one who says, "Don't worry about it. Orc's going to be so pleased that we took this initiative." So they're doing something.
Yeah.
You already know, like they haven't been authorized to do whatever they're about to do. And then suddenly in the background, we see a beam in. We think it's going to be Starfleet.
Yeah.
And it's like a Federation beam in thing. And it's
Dala and Mobar.
Dala and Mobar, but they're dressed like Janeway and Tuvok. And they're basically like, they say they're from the Federation Starship Voyager.
Yeah.
They have giant comm badges. Like they're in the uniform. But their comm badges are like
they're the wrong size, clearly, right?
So, way too big. Yeah. It's
and
so
their
goofy.
Pips, their pips are also too big as well, which is
giant comm badges. And then she introduces herself.
Yeah.
And and she has the accent. She had sort of a Katharine Hepburn sound. Did you notice that?
She did. She did.
So she was kind of doing.
She
Kate
was trying
Mulgrew.
To impersonate. Yes, she's trying to impersonate Kate, a la Janeway.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed it in this scene, but I didn't notice that sort of Katharine Hepburn-y thing in other scenes. But in this one, I definitely did.
Yes.
Which I thought was funny. She says that they have minds like this on her planet, which is Earth.
Were their lines looped?
I don't think so. I think they looped the miners because of the makeup. It must have distorted their dialogue
when they were
so
speaking.
Much. Yeah. Sometimes when there's rubber that's glued down to the lips. Yeah.
It gets so muffled that you can't even understand what they're saying. So. Yeah. Therefore,
that's probably why they
looped
it. Yeah. But the fake Janeway does talk about her childhood in Indiana. So you're like, wait, how does she
like,
know?
How do you know all this information?
Yeah.
And I have to say, Mobar is doing a pretty serviceable Tuvok. When I was watching that, I thought, man, good job. Good job.
Yeah. But the miners want some dilithium. They need 20 kilotons of dilithium.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, we can trade you bolomite. And Janeway's like,
yeah, that's the only thing they can give him. Bolomite.
That's all we've got is bolomite, 10 kilotons of bolomite.
Yeah.
And Janeway's like, no, we don't really need any bolomite. And then fake Tuvok is like, well, wait, we could maybe use this for the orphan survivors of the Narva colony.
Ah, the old grifter story of orphans.
Yes, the orphans. We could help the orphans with the bolomite. And fake Janeway says, okay, we'll make a trade. We'll give you the dilithium for the bolomite.
Right.
And at the very end, I love when Tuvok says, live long and prosper. And he puts his hand up like this.
Yeah.
In the Vulcan.
Yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Salute. Yeah.
And then they try to do it with their alien rubber hand.
They're like, lift
it up. They're like, very funny.
They make up this excuse about a neutronic storm approaching. And that's why they have to get back to their ship.
Exactly.
And this is the only way they can do the trade. They'll do the trade from the ship instead of on the planet.
Yeah.
Right.
So you beam your stuff up there and then we'll send you the dilithium because there's the storm coming.
Yeah.
So
but Mobar does ask, he says like, well, before we leave, would it be possible to tour your facility? And this would be, you know, our duty as Starfleet officers. But Dala's like, look, no, the storm is not going to wait. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But we later learned that this was all about trying to play his role to the fullest of his ability, basically. Right.
Yeah. We go to an orbiting shot. It's not Voyager.
No. This is like a really funky looking ship. It
looks
just
like cubes. It looks like boxes.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of tissue boxes pushed together into a ship is what it is. Yeah.
Or it looks like a freighter, a small freighter kind of thing or something.
It looks definitely like a section of a freighter. It doesn't even look like a whole freighter. It's very odd looking. Yeah.
And then we go on this alien bridge, the ship bridge.
Yeah.
And the fake Janeway walks in and she pulls her wig off and she's a bald alien underneath.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, this hair is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And she said something like, she criticized fake Tuvok. She's like, everything would have gone totally smoothly if Tuvok hadn't improvised.
Right.
So clearly they're all con men. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do like the fact that they just put a very thin line, a vertical line, sort of a crease to show that they're an alien species.
Right? Yeah.
But they didn't make the alien makeup so distracting that you're like, what the? So it was a very subtle thing. So they pass for human better than other aliens, I suppose.
I wonder though. Mm. So they're made up, they're really aliens, but they've made themselves appear like with the wig of Janeway.
Yeah.
Would they have to do that? Like, people they meet don't know what Kate Mulgrew looks like.
That is true.
Like, they wouldn't have to. I guess it's safer if they have the cover and look sort of like them, but it's funnier in the episode. But like, yeah. from a realistic standpoint,
standpoint, they wouldn't need to do it. But from an episodic standpoint, it's more humorous. I think
it's funny,
right?
Yeah,
it's funny.
But they get a transmission. So Dala's like quickly putting the wig back on. And then she says
it's not even an undershirt. It's just a little flap that she pulls
back
over.
Yeah, it's like, what do you call those, those little fake, sweaters that people are fake turtlenecks.
Turtleneck. It's a mock undergarment
is what it is. Yeah, it like goes under a sweater or something to look like you're wearing a turtleneck, but it's just the neck part.
Funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yep.
She tells Czar to add some Federation signatures on the monitors to the, so that the aliens will think that this is a Federation signature. So they clearly have enough info about Starfleet and Voyager. They're adding technical signatures to their transmissions.
Yeah.
And the miners say they've got the Bolomite ready and they transport it up to these grifter ship. And then the view screen starts fritzing and fake Janeway is like, oh, the storm is interfering with our transporters. And we're going to have to leave. The storm is just too much for us. And basically they take off and steal the Bolomite.
Yeah.
Don't send any dilithium down.
But she does say, look, we'll come back after the storm clears. Then we'll give it to you. Of course, they don't do that. Those grifters.
Yeah. So they've conned them. They've got this free Bolomite and they're off.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Janeway's quarters next.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand this. Janeway's like in a robe, walking to the mirror. She's just exhausted.
She
and
is.
I was like, why? What is... Like, it felt like we were going into a deep story, which we never do, about this moment being really, like, she's
so you're just, saying this moment in this scene
didn't fit anything else.
No, it was an anomaly when it comes
like
to
scenes.
Yeah,
like, she could have just walked over like everybody does at the end of the day and washed her hands and looked in the mirror, and then the mirror cracks.
Right.
And so we know something's going on.
But also, didn't it sort of bother you that she's not wearing her signature peach nightgown? It's like, what's going on here? Like, what are you wearing now?
It's a whole different bathrobe.
Completely different bathrobe. It's the same sink that's in all of our quarters, I think, as I recall, that's using that same sink. And when they do the crack thing, so can you explain to everybody how that happens? Is that visual effects or is that actually a charge in the actual...
That was something
that
from behind
it and it breaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes in, she says, turn computer, activate the sonic shower. All of a sudden there's this loud noise.
It's right.
It was so loud. It was so loud. And I was watching it with my surround sound.
Yeah. That you had to turn down the volume.
I literally had to turn it down because the screech was so loud.
I agree.
And she's like, computer, deactivate.
Yeah.
And
it just gets louder and louder until
and
the mirror shatters.
Yeah, the mirror shatters from the screeching sound.
Mm.
So they must have had a piece of glass that they put in and then popped it, hit it from behind or did something that would crack this safety glass because it kind of, it spider webbed.
Yeah.
And they probably could have done another take and swapped it out. My guess is that they probably didn't, because that would take some time.
Yeah.
But that was all a oneer.
So, weird scene all around. Why is it?
It was just weird, like, why she was so heavy and, like, because there was no, she could have just been like, oh, everything's normal. And then, whoa, what's happening? And because there was no connection to the tone of her entrance to anything else.
No. So then here's my question to you. Could this have been an episode that came in short time-wise? And they said, hey, we need to add another scene to fill out the time, and let's throw Janeway in her robe.
Maybe. It could have been, or it could have been an episode that came in long, and there was maybe something that was cut.
That actually tracked from this scene. Of course.
Why she came in so heavy. So I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
The other thing I wonder about is, like, in the future, mirrors now are made of glass.
Yes.
But glass is a very delicate,
it's delicate and it's also heavy. It's fragile heavy. Yes.
Fragile and heavy. In the future, wouldn't they create a reflective object like a mirror that wasn't made of glass? Feels like a very old, material.
Or it'd just be a lens that sort of just takes an image of you to show yourself, you know?
Yeah,
so
it'd
all be digital. We wouldn't have glass. You're right. Oh my gosh.
But I know they wanted to crack the glass, but I was like, okay.
A mirror would be in Tom Paris's bathroom because this is of his love for the 20th century. There we go.
We next go into engineering, and I wanted to say, I love this shot, and I think I know how they did it. So it started very low on somebody's feet, and then panned over, and the camera was kind of in the warp core pit. You know, there was that pit that goes down?
Yeah, below.
And then you see the feet, it pans somebody's feet walking by, and then we see Janeway in the distance, and then it comes up.
Out
of the pit and goes over and follows Janeway into a two-shot with B'Elanna off in a corner.
Yeah.
But it's a cool-looking shot. It just shows off engineering in a really interesting way. I think they used a crane arm and dipped the camera down into the pit.
Oh, and then pulled the crane arm up. Oh, I see.
And higher, and then followed her over. But it was just definitely something that would have taken some time. You could have done a much easier version, but it was a cool, it was just a cool entrance, you know?
Good job, LeVar.
Yeah, it was something I don't remember us ever doing before.
Yeah.
But she comes in, B'Elanna says there's system failures on 8 decks. She gets another readout. Sorry, make that 9. B'Elanna's like, I can't explain the problem. And Janeway says, gremlins.
Yeah.
B'Elanna's like, what? Gremlins, they're imaginary. They used to say that, you know, if they can't explain something, that there's these imaginary creatures called gremlins inside the system. Right. And I just thought that was a weird sort of.
Well, it is interesting because this is dialogue, or this is slang that kind of goes back to, again, 20th century, I would say, or even earlier, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Because when I think of gremlins, when someone says gremlins, I think of the movie Gremlins, which starred Zach Galligan, who was on our show as a species 8472 that we capture that is posing as human. So, you know, there's a connection.
And
there,
I did a movie, a really low budget horror film with Zach Galligan. Yeah. When somebody says gremlins to me, I think of the car from the 1970s.
Right.
The gremlin. Do you remember? It was like a Pinto. It was like a small little.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or I think about the episode of The Twilight Zone, the original one in black and white with Shatner, where the gremlins on the wing, like ripping up the cords and the wiring, that kind of thing.
Maybe that's what we had in Voyager, was that thing from Twilight Zone. Or it was a car from the 70s. I don't know.
One of the two.
But next we go to the mess hall. And Tuvok is getting some food scooped onto his plate. It looked like cream spinach to me.
It did.
Neelix made cream spinach as a main course for everyone. It was just slop. Tuvok turns around and Harry calls Tuvok to come over. And he's got a sour face. sour
he
face.
Does. He does.
He's not happy. Tom's like, what's wrong? And Tuvok is very unhappy. He says, someone altered one of the holodeck programs again.
Yeah. And we've already referred to this. This is the one thing that does kind of track from this episode, because we've talked about messing with the Tuvok's programs already.
Yes. He says that the Oracle of Katal appeared in pajamas.
Right.
And Tom and Harry, like,
smart Alec Paris. Well, maybe must he be overslept. Some
malfunction. Yes. Yeah.
So funny.
It is very funny. And I wondered, like, why does everyone always blame Tom? Like, why didn't they blame Harry for this?
Does turn to Harry. He goes, like, Mr. Kim, because you say that it's not, you know, why do you think it's always me? And then he looks at me, Mr. Kim. I'm like, I didn't do this. I'm innocent. Why does he always blame Tom? Because Tom is usually the one that does these things. That's why.
Everyone blames Tom.
Your name should be Tom Shenanigan Paris, is what it should be.
Shenanigans. Yeah. So Janeway and B'Elanna enter after they've talked about gremlins.
Yeah.
They come in and they tell everyone, stop eating.
Yeah.
Freeze. Don't put anything else in your mouth. Shut this place down. So the cream spinach is contaminated.
Yeah. And I don't think this has ever happened. This type of scene has never happened on Voyager.
No, it's funny.
The health board shows up and shuts down the kitchen.
Shut it down because there's a contaminant in the replicators that got into the food. And I love Harry's line at the end. It cuts to Harry and he goes, I wish I hadn't had seconds. It made me laugh.
It was funny. And I was also impressed with my... whatever acting ability I threw into that scene, I made myself look a little sick. I felt a little green on that line. And that face that I made, I've never made that face since. That's the only time I've ever seen myself make a face like that. So I was impressed with that point. Yes.
It was funny. But B'Elanna and Janeway go over to scan the kitchen.
Yeah.
They're back there with Neelix and they find something in like the stovetop and it rises up out of the thing, and they see this heating coil that's got like slime on it or something like that.
Okay, why is B'Elanna touching this thing without gloves on? I mean, she's just caressing it like it's a pet mice, a pet mouse. You know, she's like, oh, look, here's my little.
It's got green slime all over it. Kill you.
Yeah, it could be toxic. And
if we can't eat the cream spinach, why would you touch the contaminant?
It's so strange.
Neelix says that he got this. They said, where did you get this? And he says, well, he got it in a trade with Sister Dala, trying to help the poor orphans of Selnia Prime. And he and Tom were on an away mission. So I realized here, Tom's to blame for this too. Great. I didn't even know I went on an away mission with him. And now we're going to be at fault. But I guess Neelix and Tom picked up this thing. And then suddenly Chakotay calls, Captain.
Yeah.
We need you on the bridge.
Yeah.
And we cut to the bridge and there's Oryk, the chief of mining.
Oh, he's not happy.
He is not happy. Uh-uh. And he's demanding this dilithium that they promised in the trade. And Janeway's like, what are you talking about? She doesn't know anything about it. And he says, well, it's all documented right here.
Yeah.
And he has...
looks like a
Telsian.
It looks like a pad with
the lots of D's. But it's a triangle.
Yeah.
It's like a triangular pad.
It's a triangular pad.
Yeah. I got it all documented. Yeah. You promised this.
Yeah.
And she says,
you reneged.
Yeah. She says, I think you need to come aboard and we can clear up this misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. But he's still pissed in the end. He's like, one way or the other, I am getting this dilithium.
Yeah.
So they're in a pickle.
They really are.
They're in a pickle, but it's horrible. Go to the briefing room next, I think.
Yeah. And it's actually a recording. Like from his pad, he's actually sort of, I guess, what would you call it? He's interfaced with our monitor there and shown us a recording of the actual transaction. Yeah. It's all there. It's all recorded.
But Janeway, did you see her? She's sitting by the windows in the briefing room looking at this. And then she gets up.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, she saw something and she's going to solve this in a moment.
But she didn't.
She walks the longest way around the table, right up to it. Yeah. And then it ends. And I'm like, what was that intense look? You just walked the long way around the table. And
We're anyway, all expecting some amazing and the payoff.
Big, yeah,
right?
The big and news like, is that wasn't me. That's yeah. it. That's it. That's the big news.
And it's of course with that extra long walk, she wanted to give more importance to her line. Maybe yes. I don't know. It was a little weird.
But she says that wasn't me, and he says I've got data about your shuttlecraft, and he yeah. can, you know, he's got scans of their Federation signatures to back up his story. And she says we never went anywhere near your planet. We've got logs on our ship as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, how naive do you think I am?
Yeah. That whole bit where Oryk is like, you know, well, how do I know their authentic records? And Tuvok says, well, how do we know your records are authentic? All yeah. I could think of was like, whenever we talk, you know, and this happens with myself and Megan a lot, where I'm like, Robbie, you're fritzing. You're like, you're fritzing. It just became one of, yes. became one of those things right there. Yeah. So very funny.
But in kind of talking about his notes or data or whatever, he mentions these orphans.
Yeah.
And Neelix had mentioned the orphans in the trade he made. So all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute. I think I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
And so we cut to engineering next. And she finds Neelix in engineering.
Yeah.
And I guess Neelix, at first I was like, well, why is Neelix in engineering? But I guess because the heating coil.
The coil thing. Yeah. The interface.
Yeah, that makes
little,
sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But would you say that that's one of the rare times we see him there?
Very rare. It's so rare.
Yeah.
But she comes in. She asks Neelix about his away mission. And she wants more information about the sister Dala that he made the trade with.
Yeah.
And so we go in sort of a flashback.
Yeah. Back to this cavern.
Yeah. Back to the cave
Stage
set.
16. We
see Tom and Neelix walking through. Tom says, you know, wow, when I signed up for Starfleet, I never dreamed that that it would be so glamorous to be looking for mold in caves. And they're looking for some kind of spore in the caves of this planet that the doctor wanted for antivirus treatments or something.
Okay, why isn't the doctor on this mission?
Yeah, why are we going to get a spore?
Yeah, these are his silly spores that he wants. His mold. Why are you guys looking for it? So ridiculous.
But Tom was like, oh, never expected all this glamour. And I love Neelix's response. He goes off his tricorder, I'm detecting traces of glamour in this direction. Funny. It was very, very clever.
Funny, Robin Berger. Sorry, we don't know who you are, but funny line. Yes.
Yes. But we meet Sister Dala.
Yeah.
She's like a nun, a very pious person. Fake Tuvok appears in his pious thing. And I thought back, it reminded me of sacred ground and the monks.
It did. Yes. The way that they're dressed and everything. Yes.
Yeah.
It could have been recycled sacred ground wardrobe.
Yeah.
You know,
they may have used some of those parts.
Very much so.
But before they can even talk to them, they have to do a cleansing. And Neelix is like, oh, I'm sorry. So she says, wait. And they do this cleansing. He does a cleansing with like it's technology.
Right.
Which is very suspicious. It's like, wait a minute, you're doing some spiritual thing, but you need like a scanner.
Yes.
They're clearly scanning
them. They're Yes. It's another tool for the grifting people.
Yeah.
The grifters.
Mm-hmm. And after they do their cleansing, then she says, wait a minute. He bears a striking resemblance to our Redeemer of Light. Do you see it? She says to Fake Tuvok. So they're sort of like, they're complimenting. They're stroking his ego.
You're like our God.
You look like our God. And they talk about the Redeemer of Light, who they each spring make a pilgrimage to Narve in his honor for the orphans of Narve.
Yeah.
So again, using this orphan bit. And they said, but this year we can't make this pilgrimage because our crops have failed. We don't have any food to offer. And Neelix is like, well, we can give you food. And they're like,
we can replicate some food. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, nope, we bestow charity. We don't accept charity. That's right. Part of our thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Neelix who then says, how about a trade?
Mm-hmm.
And Paris, good idea. You must have something that we can use. Yeah, so it's right there. The beginning of the shenanigans.
So they're like, if we make a trade, you know, maybe we can give you some food. Do you have something to offer? And they say, well, a heating coil. We have heating coil. You could do that in exchange for a heating coil. Oh, okay. Then it wouldn't be charity. So great. We go back to engineering. They're still, he's telling this story, this flashback story. Yeah. And Neelix is now sitting in a chair telling the story. And B'Elanna and Janeway are standing. It was just odd. I was like, why is he sitting down? Like, I know they want to show that time passed, I guess. He's telling a long story. But like, why would he sit down? I don't know. It just struck me as kind of unusual.
That like he was the sitting. Early scene with Janeway in her bathroom. Unusual as well. Yeah.
There was some unusual things here. Mm-hmm. But not a big deal. But he's sitting down, still telling the story.
Yeah.
And he says they invited them onto the Delta Flyer.
Yeah. And Janeway realizes that's when they accessed the systems.
Yeah.
And that's when they discovered how to basically impersonate us from those systems information.
Yeah. And he said something like, we kept an eye on them. You know, we were both with them all the time. Mm-hmm. Paris went up front with one of them, and Neelix said he stayed in the back.
Yeah.
So we flash back to when he was sitting in the back.
Yeah.
They had finished their meal and they're sitting around a table in the back of the Delta Flyer, Neelix and Sister Dala. But I looked at the table and Tom and Mobar had just left their dirty plates on the table. I was like, well, that's rude. Like, don't you take it over and like sonically clean the plate or stick it in the, you know, recycling or something. I don't know. Like,
why'd you just
leave your dirty plates
on
the table?
But now this is another thing that tracks. If you recall, there was an episode with the away mission with Tom, Harry, Chakotay, and Neelix. And Harry comes to the front and says, like, someone left their dirty dishes, Tom. Do you remember that? So now
that's right. Now it makes sense.
It continues
Tom
to track.
Tom just doesn't
Tom
clean
is
up
just
after
a, he's a messy Marvin, is what
I
he
guess
is.
So. I guess so. But yeah, she talks to Neelix a lot and she asks Neelix all kinds of questions. So Neelix is just giving her.
He's giving her the 411. He's like an encyclopedia and he doesn't even think about what he's doing. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. He tells her Voyager's alone in this part of space, so they don't have any backup.
Yeah.
She talks about Janeway and even talks about her childhood.
Indiana bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Tom and Mobar come back in and they have their thank yous and they want to finish with a blessing. And so they have to close their eyes. You see them close their eyes and you see Mobar with his scanner start walking behind Paris and cut back to engineering. Jim is like, how long did this blessing go on? Neelix says, I don't know, a minute or two. You sat there with your eyes closed. And Jim was like,
this is when they downloaded the database, right?
Yeah. That's all the time they needed. You were conned. I think we go to the flyer next. Janeway's on the flyer.
Yeah.
And
I just want to just say right now, it just, for me, this episode, it bothered me because I don't think either Neelix or Tom would be that conable. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Tom,
well, that's
of all
part
people,
of the story. Like they talk about it. They're like, how could you, of all people, how could we be con? But
I know it's still, and even when you guys talk about it, it still annoyed me because I thought, no, Tom is sort of kind of streetwise. There's no way that he would sit here and get conned like that. But it is the episode. So what do we do?
Yeah. So we're in the flyer. Janeway's examining all the computer records from the flyer.
Yeah.
She finds out that their database was downloaded that day when they were on there
18 days ago.
Probably with that little scanner thing that he does blessings with. And then Tom has a line here where he goes, what would a couple of religious clerics want with our database? And I was like, really, Tom? You're still thinking they're religious? Like, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
It was the most naive, far-fetched line.
And so, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But Janeway's like, gentlemen, I believe you've been had. So Janeway's not that dumb, but we go out to space. We see Voyager and Oryx ship kind of floating there in space.
Yeah.
And we're back in the briefing room. Janeway says, tells Oryx, basically, we've both been had.
Yeah.
Your bolomite got stolen and our reputation has been sullied. Like, yeah. You know, she says she wants to analyze the scans of the vessel that the con men were on. Maybe she can decipher a warp signature. And Oryx here is like, I'm not sure I can trust you because how can Paris and Neelix be so naive? I agree with Oryx here. Like, I don't know if I believe that Paris and Neelix, but anyway, Oryx, he agrees to give them the scans of the ship, but he says, I don't know if it's going to help you because they could be halfway, you know, through the sector by now with our bolomite. Mm-hmm. And, but he agrees. And then he's at one end of the table. She's with her back to the windows. And remember, he takes his triangular pad and he slides it down that center.
Okay. Wasn't that, what was that center thing made of?
It was like rubber, some kind of rubber.
How do they get that thing to slide across rubber like that? I was like, I don't know. They put some
it felt very kind of like a cowboy Western, you know?
Yeah. Like here, something.
It was a first. We've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I almost want to talk to LeVar and ask him what he was thinking in terms of
he was just trying to do something stylistic.
Yeah? Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. We go to the alien bridge next and Dala is giving a tour to Varn, this new alien. So she's got another mark. She's going to con this guy. And we realize she says, by the way, she's giving a tour of the Delta. She's calling her ship the Delta Flyer to this guy. This is just our shuttle, the Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm insulted. That is not the Delta Flyer. That is a box ship.
Yes. And I did like his makeup, even though it did it reminded me a lot of, do you remember the guy that played the, he was sort of the junkyard dealer and he was like, welcome to my, that's how, what he looked like. Very kind of similar sort of, you know, the sense of it.
But
it
I liked the makeup. It was still good. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah. It was a very good makeup. Mm-hmm. So she's giving a tour and she's telling all kinds of stories from the Voyager database. She's saying they've fought off enemies like the Borg and species 8472. The Federation is, you know, very powerful and strong. And she basically says to Varn, you know, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to join the Federation.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big bold move.
It's huge. All you got to do is pay to join.
Yeah, you have to pay. Yeah, you pay to join the Federation, and you're part of us. And she even shows off the schematics of the mothership, Voyager.
Yeah, saying that all this technology can be yours once you join the Federation. We'll show you how it works.
Yes, as a member, you can apply for membership. and then the fake Tuvok starts to say, well, this is a lengthy process. And starts going through the approval process. And and then the fake Chakotay, you know, says, well, Janeway has a lot of influence with the Federation Council. Mm-hmm. So don't worry. You'll be in if you pay.
Yeah.
But the fake Chakotay says, we're being recalled back to the Federation, but we'll come back to you, Varn, in 6 months.
Yeah.
But you got to decide right now if you want to join the Federation.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't say that. The Dala says, well, perhaps we can discuss your application then. So they kind of throw it out there to make him feel like, wait a minute. Yeah. I need to make this decision now, you know? Yeah. So another grifter way of getting people to give up their money or give up their goods.
And she does say that it's going to have to be a significant, you know, contribution.
Right. And Varn's fine with that. He's like, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go
whatever it takes. Yep. And they finish the scene with her shaking his hand. Welcome to the Federation. So he's going to get the giant comm badge. He's going to get one of those. That's like your membership.
This is so Ponzi schemish. Oh, it's so funny. It's just like, my goodness.
And then we go to the mess hall and Tom comes over. He wants some coffee, says he's been flying concentric search patterns for hours.
Yeah.
Trying to find these con men.
Yeah.
Tom goes, I can't believe we were fooled. And Neelix is like, yeah, me too. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And then Paris goes, I mean, if it had been Harry, I could understand it. And I hated that line. I'm like, what? You're going to make me the... Okay, you got Laurel and Hardy. And then what am I? I'm even a rung lower on the ladder.
Harry trusts everybody. Harry's naive. If it was Harry, I'd get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Neelix is like, we got to get our edge back. And so he pulls out. He happens to have... a nut and some cups. So he's going to do the shell game.
Yeah.
Okay. Get his edge back. And they says, all we need now is a mark. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor enters in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom goes, I've got your back. So they pretend to play this game while the doctor watches.
Yeah.
And Tom's like trying to figure out where the nut was under the cups. And he starts to point at one cup and the doctor's like, and then Tom goes, that one, he guesses the right one. And so the doctor clearly is paying attention in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the doctor comes over. He says, I want to turn.
Yeah.
And so Neelix says, well, you got to bet something.
Yeah.
So they make a bet, 3 duty shifts in sick bay if Neelix loses. And Neelix says, okay, 3 duty shifts in the kitchen if you lose.
Yeah.
And so Tom's like the shill, the assistant.
Yeah, he's in on it.
Yeah, Neelix shuffles these things around.
Yeah.
And then the doctor says, he says, where do you think it is? And the doctor says, in your left hand.
Your left hand.
And it was. He had palmed it.
I like his final line, though. Superior visual acuity.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
After Paris goes, how did you? Superior visual acuity. See you in sick bay. So it was this.
That's right. And he walks out, and then we're in that 50-50, that two-shot of Tom and Neelix.
Yeah.
And I love how Neelix has the nut, and he just tosses it into the kitchen over his shoulder.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Like, when you were watching this, were you remembering all these scenes? Did this kind of come back to you a little bit?
Little moments. Or... like, I do remember the shell game. And
you did playing remember that part.
And that was kind of, you know, between shots, I remember us actually trying to play it. And trying to fool each other. And I do remember some of that.
Okay.
A lot of it I don't remember.
Okay. Though. All right, let's continue.
Yeah, we're on the bridge.
Yes, we are.
Tuvok says he picks up a vessel on long-range scans, and the warp signature matches the imposter ship.
The imposter Delta Flyer.
Yeah, and then Janeway says, Tom's coffee break is over, and she tells Harry to call him. And we hear Harry off camera say, yes, ma'am. You weren't even...
No. No, Janeway says, Harry, tell Tom his coffee break is over. Set a pursuit course. And I say, yes, ma'am.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Off camera, though.
Off camera.
You weren't even there.
I wasn't even on the set.
No, you looped that line in from the looping stage.
Yeah. This episode was an episode that I had a lot of days off, clearly. I wasn't even around. So.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot.
Nope.
A little bit. But I mean, Jerry Seven had almost nothing in this.
Wait,
did she walk in anything?
Wait,
she was on the bridge. That's all I remember.
She was on the bridge.
Yeah,
during the opening scene.
A couple of times. She was in a. She was standing at that center console.
Oh, that one right behind the right behind Captain. Okay, yes.
Almost nothing, which is shocking because usually at this point.
Oh yeah.
Every story turns scene into is a seven.
Seven. Yeah. It really is
shocking.
Yeah.
So then we go out to space. Mm-hmm. And we see the imposter ship. And I made a note here. The music sounded like the old Batman TV show music to me. Like when the shot over the ship, I was like, what is this like? This music. It was like Batman.
Yes. It was Batman-esque. And you're talking about 60s, like the original Batman TV show.
The TV show. Yeah. And we see that out in space. We go inside the alien bridge. Varn complains that the photon torpedoes that they gave him didn't work, that they're not any better than plasma flares, he says. And his enemies, the Polonians, said that they were allowed to join the Federation too. So he's like, how can I be in the Federation and my enemies are in the Federation? Like, your Federation
you
is
allowed
a joke.
You allowed my enemies to join.
they're getting busted now.
Yeah.
And then fake Tuvok apologizes and he says, well, you can petition the Federation Council if you like.
You gotta submit that formal report to Starfleet. Yes. Yeah.
But Varn says, nope. He locks onto their ship and he wants reparations. Yeah. He wants some payback. And so we go to space. We see his tractor beams locked on.
Yeah, they can't disable the tractor beam. And Zar basically says, hey, there's another problem. Voyager is here now. So here we go.
The real Voyager shows up. And we go to our bridge on the real Voyager. And Tom's coming from the turbo lift. And
Seven is in that scene here.
Yeah, Seven. Mm-hmm. Seven says there's another ship that's tractoring
the imposter
ship.
Yeah.
Tom sits down. Who did I kick out of that chair? I can't remember who it was. I'm sure it was one of our regulars.
Yeah.
But it was just unusual for Tom to come in and go right into action. I don't know. I liked
Yeah, I mean, you would think that Tom would already be there. Like, why was he? Yeah.
Okay. He was out with Neelix playing the shill game trying to get his edge.
Oh, that's
his
right. Back. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we go to the alien bridge. Fake Tuvok says we should surrender. Mm-hmm. He even says, you know, the Federation has a very humane prisoner policy, and they glare at him and he just turns and like, never mind. It was funny.
That's a good line, actually. I like that line.
Yeah.
Dala talks about how, you know, our mothership's arrived and she's armed and ready to defend us. And
yes.
Varna's like, well, you tell them to stand down. And Dala goes, no, you release us or Voyager will destroy you.
Yeah, she's still trying to play out the con.
Still playing the whole con. Yeah.
Then Varn pops onto Voyager's screen.
Yeah.
And he says,
tells
us to stand down. And our real captain says, we can explain this. You've been tricked. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to talk anymore. So he fires Voyager.
Yeah, he said he paid for his membership and now the flyer belongs to him. That's lying.
Paid for my membership. Yeah, you just buy a membership to the Federation. There's a little short space
skirmish.
Battle, little skirmish.
Yeah.
Voyager ultimately destroys Varn's tractor beam.
Yeah.
And Janeway says to Seven of Nine, transport those imposters off of their ship.
Yeah.
But
we only get one.
The imposter ship takes off and they only get one.
Yeah.
We get Dala. Yeah. And Voyager takes off to warp as well, probably on the chase there.
Yeah.
Which is important. It's going to come up again later. So, yeah. So the imposter ship is taken off. We get one of them, but we stay on the chase. We stay active because later on, I forget what happens, but like we don't chase. I'm like, wait, why didn't we chase them always? Like, why are we?
Yeah.
But anyway, we go to the brig.
Yeah.
Janeway and Tuvok enter. Tarek is at the controls.
Yeah.
Here.
Tarek is the, no. Are you sure? At
this one, Tarek.
Later he's not. It's somebody else, later right? Okay, that's right. Excuse me. When Neelix comes in, that's what
exactly.
It is. I love Janeway's opening line. Nice hair.
Yeah, and it's fun to see them because I wish that she had had her giant communicator on. She didn't have it in the scene.
Oh, it was not on in that scene?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you see them in a face-off, and it's like, it's, you know, looking sort of identical, but like the comedy version.
Oh, my gosh.
But I guess maybe they didn't want the comedy with the giant.
Yeah, that was too much comedy.
It was too much comedy for this scene. The captain says, so you've been posing as a Starfleet captain selling memberships to the Federation. Basically, Dala is not impressed with the real Janeway. She thought she was going to be more impressed.
And I love how she goes, I expected you to be taller.
yeah. She's not.
But, you know, when she
down.
Says, you know, yeah, so Dala's, I expected you to be taller and I make a better you than you. So she's now getting a little snotty.
Yeah.
And Janeway's like, oh, I don't know. You know, I think we're very much alike. Resourceful, intelligent, ambitious, but just one tiny, tiny difference. I'm not a liar and a thief. So, ba-dum-bum, you know, just she kind of dishes it right back at her. So,
although she is going to be a liar in a minute.
She will be a liar.
You know, you need to tell us, confess everything and tell us everyone that you conned or we'll turn you over to
the Telsian, security.
Yeah. Telsian security. And Dahl's like, who cares? Like, I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah.
They're naive and they're idiots. And the real Janeway's like, oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, Tell them about your research, Mr. Tuvok.
I beg your pardon, Captain.
Tuvok's like, wait, what? You know, your research.
Come again?
Yes.
But your Janeway research... clearly has a secret code for Tuvok to start improvising, because he does.
Yeah, he says about the justice system that's so cruel, you know, the research on that. Mm-hmm. And so Tuvok steps forward and he's like, oh, yes, yes, the justice system is horrible.
Prisons barbaric.
Barbaric, barely habitable prisons. Many die of malnutrition before they even go to trial.
Yeah.
He says torture is commonplace. There are even several forms of incurable psoriasis. This is where he starts to go off the rails a little with his you know what's improv.
But what's funny to me, what's the funniest to me, is that it's what Mobar does. Like, when we first see Mobar, he goes extra and above and beyond in his improvisation on that planet, the mining planet on the Telshin homeworld. And then here, the real Tuvok is also going overboard. Yes. The parallel. So I like how Robin Berger structured that.
Yeah, it was good. Janeway says, look, if if you want to make full restitution, we will let you go and not turn you over to this horrible psoriasis prison. Dalla says, you know what? If you give me the Delta Flyer and 3 days to get away, then I'll tell you. And this is where Janeway's like, okay, so Janeway's actually been clever here. She's like gotten out of Dalla what Dalla's going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
What she Very wants smart. To do.
Very smart.
She's gotten her to admit what she wants. Mm-hmm. And Dalla even says, you know, Janeway, I think you're the one with the problem, because your reputation has been...
As far as everyone knows, it's you who's been doing the bad deals, basically.
But Janeway doesn't back down to that. She's like, I'm not gonna take your offer to give you the Delta Flyer, and I'm not gonna trust you. Janeway says to Tuvok, okay, call Telsian security and we'll turn her over, and they exit. We think that's what Janeway's plan is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out in the hall and Janeway's like, psoriasis, Tuvok? Psoriasis? I love Tuvok's line. He says, improvisation is not a Vulcan specialty or something. Yeah,
not foremost amongst my talents, is what he says. So, my God.
But she says, don't really call Telsian security yet.
Right.
And Tuvok says, wait, do you have another plan?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't know. I'm going to make it up as I go.
She's kind of doing giving them a little bit of their own medicine.
Yeah. So she's trying to con the con man back. Yeah. We go to the brig. Again, Neelix is in this time. Different security officer.
Not Tarek. So not Ayala.
He said, I brought more than bread and water, you know, even though the captain said, just give you bread and water. She goes, I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
The guard drops the force field.
Yeah.
And Neelix comes inside.
Yeah.
But the guard doesn't turn the force field back on, which
immediately
was suspicious to me as I'm watching.
Well, it's definitely forced now, right? Because that's protocol. I mean, if you enter the brig, it's always turned back on. Always, you don't leave it off. I mean, it's come on, guys. So
But they have a nice scene. He asks if she feels guilty. He's really trying to play the good cop here.
He is.
He's trying to play like her friend. Yeah. And
good scene for Ethan Phillips. Good scene for him.
Great scene for him, and also for her, because she's playing along too. Like,
yeah, she is.
She asks. He asks if she feels guilty, and you know, she says things like, "You seem really nice."
Yeah.
And, And Neelix is like, why do you do what you do? And her answer is that her father says most people will exploit you if they can. So you should exploit them first.
Mm.
So
classic. Not very sound advice, but definitely grifter advice.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Neelix even goes into, he used to be a lot like her, but when he met Janeway and came on the ship, that instead of hustling, you know, trades and deals and things, that the commodity she wanted was hard work, loyalty, willingness to share.
Yeah.
And he said, this has made me happier than I've ever been. I'm so much happier living this way and not, you know, hustling deals and things like that. And she's like, well, I'm not going to change. And he says, you know, Janeway brought a Borg onto this ship.
Yeah.
And she's changed. So maybe, you know, I could talk to the captain, persuade her to let you become part of the crew. Mm-hmm. And she seems to be believing him, like, you know, that his nice, good cop is getting to her.
Yeah.
And they go, she says something like, is that tea still warm? And they go over to pour the tea, and she intentionally spills the cup
into the food into the tray.
Yeah. You know, and he goes to bend down to clean it, and then she knocks him down, grabs his phaser.
Yeah.
Which the whole thing is like, he's armed inside a brig. There's no force field up. It, to me, it was very suspicious, but I know ultimately going to be part of her plan.
Yeah, but in reality, the minute the knocking down happened, that security guy would have been alerted by that sound, and he would have been looked over. He would have seen the grabbing of the phaser from Neelix, which then he would have grabbed his phaser, and as she shot Neelix, she would have been shot. Right?
I think the reason they put the T at the corner, that back corner where it was, is maybe they were trying to help a little with that timing to say that, oh, the security guard couldn't see around.
Oh, so his eye line, he couldn't see it. Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe that explains it a little.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But it was sloppy security in that.
Yeah. Place. Yeah.
But she does, she stuns the security guy, stuns Neelix, and we cut out in the hall. She's running. Quick jump to the Delta Flyer. She starts it up, and then out in space.
There is a line from Kim. He says, she's gone. So I do have I have two words.
You have two words, and you're on camera, not off camera. So
two words.
Yeah. And this is where I was saying, why aren't they chasing or firing at her? Like, why?
Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah. I was, again, to me, suspicious, but
yeah,
I get what's going to ultimately happen.
Yeah.
We go to the aliens ship and the bridge.
Faux Delta Flyer.
Yeah, the pretend, the imposter ship.
Yeah.
And Zar and Mobar are arguing. So now the con men are starting to bicker amongst themselves. Zar and Mobar are arguing about rescuing Dala.
Yeah. Mobar wants to go back. Zar is like, no, too dangerous. So, yeah.
But I did like that Mobar is like a method con man. He's still in character as Tuvok. With his buddy who knows he's not.
I know. I know. I mean, he's saying she's our captain. He's so method.
He's such a method con man.
I actually love Mobar. I really do. Mobar is endearing to me. So Mobar is like that Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, Dala and Zar are bad, but Mobar is just some guy that just got swept up with the wrong crowd. That's all.
Yeah. But she comes back. She approaches the alien ship, the imposter ship. She says, "Hey, beam me back on board." Yeah. And then they're suspicious of her.
They think it's a trap. They're like, "What?
Wait." And she's like, "You think I'm lying to you?"
Yeah.
Like now, so they're all fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And then she does get beamed over, and then Tom Paris slides out on the bio bed.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, he had been hiding in the bio bed, so she didn't detect other life signs. He comes out after she beams over, so now Paris is on the Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
He activates the doctor with his mobile emitter, and we go back over to the imposter ship. Dala's walking in onto their bridge. Mobar is lounging in the captain's chair, but I love when he pops up.
Yeah, he's like, whoo. We gotta get out of here.
And he says, "Captain on the bridge."
Yeah,
he pops up.
He's so method.
He's so method. She rolls her eyes, which made me laugh. She's like, really...
"When we refer to a method actor, we're referring to someone who stays in character, even when the camera is not rolling, even when the performance is not happening. There's still the character."
Mobar just won't drop the Tuvok. Mobar is definitely a method con man.
Oh God.
So she's on the bridge. Mobar gets up out of the chair. She says, "Let's go collect the bolomite where we hid it." And then Mobar detects life signs on the Delta Flyer. He says, "I detect two life signs."
Why didn't they detect that before? That's my question.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't get it.
The doctor is a hologram.
Why would he
would not be a life sign.
He says, I detect two life signs.
Yeah, there's some holes in this script.
It's only one life sign. Czar thinks that that she did double cross him. Mm-hmm. And then Paris calls over from the Delta Flyer. He says, prepare to be boarded. Charging weapons. He fires at the imposter ship. They shoot back and they leave at warp speed to go get their bolomite.
Yep.
Next, we go to a space shot, and the alien imposter ship is by this red planet. Cool planet.
Yeah.
Cool little shot. Slowly approaching. We go to the imposter's bridge. They're packing up their away mission supplies in their backpacks. That was kind of cute. And Dala and Czar arguing still. They say, they're basically suspicious of it. Like, they don't trust each other. None of them trust each other. So they're going to all go together to do this.
Right.
And now we go to the cave sets again, back to our caves.
We are. Yeah.
They all go down. They're putting these pattern enhancers so that they can send it back to.
And it's just filled with all the stolen goods. It's all there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's a treasure cave.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're putting these pattern enhancers out, Dala pulls a weapon on them. And Dala calls Janeway and says, I'm in position.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what?
What is happening right now?
What is happening?
You could lock onto my coordinates. And Czar's like, I told you she couldn't be trusted. And Mobar is still in method actor. He says, how could you bring yourself to deceive your fellow officers? He's still in character. And I love it.
So
love
funny.
It.
Yeah. But they all draw weapons. She stuns Czar first. Yeah,
but before that happens, we do jump to the bridge. We're on the bridge and Janeway says, can you get a lock? And Seven's like, no, the geostratum is too dense. Yeah, they can't get down to that. I mean, they're so far beneath the surface
in
of
the caves.
They can't get a lock. Yeah.
But so still, I'm like, wait, is Dala?
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening right now.
Neither did I. Right. So basically, Janeway tells Tuvok to keep trying, and now we hear Dala saying that she's outnumbered, Captain. I need assistance. So now we're thinking, wait, so she's calling Janeway Captain as well? Is she a method actress as well? We're a little confused here. We don't know what's happening. Yeah.
And then when Mobar tries to stun her, it goes right through her, like she's. Like it's a hologram or something.
But Czar gets shot first, remember?
So Czar gets shot first.
Czar pulls it out. He gets shot. Then Mobar tries to shoot Janeway, right? And the beam goes straight through her body.
Yeah, she sort of fritzes like a hologram.
Yeah, so then we're like, oh.
And
Dala runs away to another side tunnel, wherever it is. And essentially Mobar chases after. And now Tuvok comes into the scene. And I love how Mobar plays it like, oh my gosh, this is my greatest. He kind of fanboys over the fact that Tuvok is there. He's like, Commander Tuvok? And Tuvok's like, the one and only. And I just love that whole scene. And Mobar stays in character. He doesn't even, he says, logic would indicate that neither of us has the advantage. And Tuvok goes, your logic is flawed. And he shines this flashlight in his eyes. He's stunned and he gets phasered by Tuvok, which is,
I don't know if I buy the move that Tuvok.
I know it's cheesy, it's forced, but I just love the fact that he was method to the very end. He never ever gave it up. Mobar.
He never gave it up.
Oh, I love Mobar. Okay.
Yeah, and I think we've got a scene in the Delta Flyer where Paris is guarding Dala, and she starts to wake up, and this is where all the pieces are put together.
Yeah,
where Dala starts to wake up. And
Does Dala flash into? Wait, what happens at the end after he gets phased? After Mobar goes down?
I think it's just Dala wakes up, and Paris is like, "Hey, don't get up yet. It'll take a few more minutes for the Amazine."
Okay, so we don't see the doctor yet, right? We don't see how. Okay, all right.
No, right. I don't think so. But all the pieces are sort of put together that Paris and the doctor had snuck onto the flyer, that Janeway had set all this up to follow them and get the whole team captured. We have a captain's log.
Oh, no, sorry, Robbie. It does happen in that scene. Okay. Because after he goes down, Tuvok says, stay where you are. Czar, who has been phased earlier is now sort of awake again, I guess. He goes, what did they promise you for betraying us? And that's when Dalla says, I believe you've mistaken me for someone
else. That's right.
The mobile emitter is adjusted, and then zoom, then the doctor fritzes in.
And the doctor
Czar says, where's Dalla? And the doctor says, I'm afraid she's indisposed at the moment. And that's when we cut to
Paris,
the Delta Flyer aft compartment. Yeah. Yes, and Dalla's on the biobed in Paris.
And he says, get up. So all that's the pieces now are coming together. We know mm-hmm. that Janeway had conned the con.
Yeah, she did it. And there's even a captain's log. The stolen mm-hmm. property has been returned to the Telsian miners, as well as vessels from 7 different worlds. I'm hoping that the reputation of the real Federation will survive the events of the last several days. And we have one final scene in mess hall.
Yes, we do. Neelix and Tom are there playing their shell game with the
doctor. Once again, with the doc. Yeah.
Yes. And he's in the doctor's like, I have shown you, you can't fool me.
Right.
But they do this time.
Yes. It's not up his sleeve. It's not in his right hand. It's actually in Paris's hand. He pulls it out of his ear, the old pull the coin or the nut from behind the ear thing.
Yeah.
And the doctor yells that it's cheating.
Yes.
But Neelix ends the scene by saying, we still got it. You still have your little edge.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It was fun episode. I really enjoyed it.
Even with all the holes in the plot, it's still a fun episode. Okay, what is your lesson from this episode?
My lesson, I guess my takeaway, it was just a fun episode to watch. Mm-hmm. My takeaway is sometimes you have to con a con man. Like sometimes you have to, do things that aren't in your character when you're dealing with savory people like that. Like you, that was my takeaway. What about you?
My takeaway is more about Mobar.
sometimes you have to stay in character.
So, no, sometimes when you decide to do something, don't do it half-ass. Jump with both feet in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just embrace it and just do it. You know, and he did it. He did it the entire time. So to me, that was very admirable, and that's my lesson, really. I mean, if you decide to do something, just do it with relish. Don't do it halfway.
All right.
Your rating for this episode.
My rating, even though there are some little bumps here and there, it does have a lot of the cast involved, although Harry didn't have a lot to do.
Yeah.
And Seven didn't have a lot to do, and Chakotay didn't have. So maybe it doesn't have a ton of cast, but I just enjoyed it. And I loved the giant comm badges. So I'm going to give it an 8, actually. I really like this episode.
Nice.
It was
nice.
Fun.
I'm going to give it a 7.5. So not as high as you, but still, it's a good rating. So.
Yeah, this was a fun episode. Okay, our Admiral and Captain's average rating for Live Fast and Prosper is 7.2.
Okay.
7.2.
All right.
Nice. We were in the zone.
We're in the area.
Awesome.
I actually went higher because you went higher, because I was like, it's higher than I thought, because I was going to say 7.1 or 2. So I would have nailed it again, but that's okay. I'm going to stick with my 7.5 regardless. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our review, recap, and discussion of Live Fast and Prosper. Join Robbie and I next week.
What are we watching?
Oh, yes. Are you excited for next week already? Okay.
Yes, I am.
We're going to be watching the episode Muse.
Oh, okay.
This should ring a bell for you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's the episode we will be tackling next week. Yes. Okay. Muse. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned.